5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and we're live. Another episode, episode 18. This is going to be, did one earlier today for Halloween and crazy fucking stories and crazy scenarios that I've been through. Pretty sure everybody has gone through those crazy, scary stories and fucking scenarios that you want to dismiss, but they know they're there. They're fucking creepy. They're gonna get you if you don't fucking act and be good. Anyways. I want to talk about a couple updates on the UFC. And crazy breaking stories. One of them being the trade. The first ever historical trade between two MMA... two MMA branches, one of them being the ONE Championship, mainly in Japan and Asia. They do those their fighting competitions. I think they won in Singapore, and the UFC, which is the big fish, the dawn of all MMA branches out there, like Bellator and Combat America and ONE Championship, and it's pretty cool they did this. It's great for the sport. It's great for fighters that you know, they're not happy with the contract. They're not happy with what they're making. They're not happy with the promoter, and they'd be like, "Listen, man, I'm not happy. I don't want to be here." Trade me. I mean, they should look MMA combat sport like the boxing world, like the soccer world, the NFL world, the NBA. Should listen, man. You know, I got this fighter. How about you give me that fighter and you get this fighter, or vice versa? You know. You're not happy with your contract? Sure, we can trade you. Who do you have in mind? Or get your agent on it and see if we can trade you. Or hey, you know what? You're not happy? I'm not happy with you either, being the promoter, you know? Let's just say I'm Scott Coco and Dana White. They're chopping it up. Like, listen, how about we get Bader and you guys get Bader and we get DC? You know? Shit like that. Or you guys get Limas and we get, I don't know, fucking Khabib. Shit like that, you know, interesting fucking trades. This one is very interesting. Ben Askren and fucking Demetrius Johnson, aka DJ. I'm a fan of DJ. I'm a bigger fan of DJ than Ben Askren. This is why. Ben Askren, I know he's a good fighter. I know he's a great wrestler. Everybody knows that, right? And their mother, everybody knows that. But he's been on F1 ONE Championship, which is straight just Asia TV. He has won and beat everyone there. He's a great and a killer in wrestling. But you want to say that you're the best, you want to say you're the best on what you do, then you should be in the best league, and that is the UFC. Everybody knows that, right? Everybody wants to fucking be in the big leagues like the UFC. This is my ranking. UFC, second is fucking Bellator, ONE Championship, Combat America. And then millions and thousands of little organizations in the world. But those are the fucking top five, in my opinion. So everyone wants to go in the UFC. That's what the big money is. That's what the best fighters are. And that's what the best of the best are. And that's what you want to be. If you want to be considered a GOAT. You know, that's just been thrown out there for anything now. You know, you're the best fucking hamburger, fucking flip burgers and shit. Oh, you're a GOAT. You're a GOAT. Shut the fuck up. Anyways, with that being said, happy for this trade. I'm happy to see Ben Askren and the UFC. Happy for fucking DJ. Going in ONE Championship, making more money, making history for the 125, maybe going up to 135, 145. you know, that is good for Demetri Johnson. He can go up weight and make history for himself, make history for his family, and top of all that, make your fucking money. That's what, you know, it's all about. And you know, Ben comes over to a UFC, man. It's interesting. He can fight at 155, at 170, at 185, even 165 if they want to make that fucking weight class. He's calling everybody out, all the way from Khabib, all the way up to fucking Darren Till. You know, it's exciting. Fucking exciting. You know, Cody is already talking shit to him. You know, he's, you know, Ben is throwing shots at these guys back and forth on Twitter, on Instagram. It's gonna be. Hopefully, they give him a good match. But I'm 100% sure it's gonna be a fucking killer on any weight class they fucking put him in. He is that good, and he is that talented. With that being said, let's see who he go against. I would like for him to go to 165, bank that belt, have him and fucking Nate go at it and see who wins and make that fucking belt a new belt. And, you know, Nate Diaz and him, both are fucking shit talkers. Let's make it happen, man. Or make a tournament out of it, you know? You know, Dustin Poirier, Nate Diaz, fucking Ben. Hey, Conor wants to go up to 165. Fuck it. Let Conor go up there too. You know, make a fucking tournament, eight fighters tournament. And this is what I would do with eight fighters, right? I would have Kevin Lee, Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz, Dustin Poirier, Ben, obviously. Let me see. I need three more. Let me see who else can go up. Who else can go up and where go down from 170? Let me see. Cody could be one of them. So that'd be six. Darren Till, that's too much of a weight cut. But if he can make it happen, that would be interesting. Fuck it, Khabib can go up 165. Tony Ferguson can go up 165. Anthony Pettis can go up 165. There you go, 10. You know, or keep it 8. Take out fucking Darren Till, take out Cody, have Khabib and fucking Tony and Anthony Pettis up going right there. 8 fucking solid players that Ben Askren can fucking go against. That's fucking as legit as it can be. I don't see why. I don't know. Dana probably won't do it, but that'll be a fucking nice weight class. And now you have stack of fucking cards, and to make some good fucking matches. But you know. We'll see, man. We'll see. Tyson Fury versus Wilder, man. That's going to be a fucking... I'm a fan of the fighting game. I'm not a fan of heavyweight. I've never was. But I got to be honest. After listening to Fury on the Joe Rogan podcast, which this is why I started my own podcast, because I got inspired by fucking Joe Rogan. What he was saying, what he was talking about, the mental illness, man, he won me over, man. He did. He really did. He got me interested. I'm watching him. I'm watching him fight on his life, on his fucking struggles to come back after 2 years. You know, it's if you guys haven't listened to that fucking podcast, I suggest you guys do that. I suggest you guys go and listen to that shit. And fucking, if you guys have some sort of mental illness, it could be depression, it could be depression, it can be chronic stuff, like you believe that you're sick, you believe that something's happening that you, that actually does happen. Do you let people just stomp you down, that you're weak mentally, you know, all that kind of stuff, man. It's very interesting listening to him and what he says and how he got out of it. Basically, to break it down in 2 fucking minutes, he was fucking so obsessed winning one of the Ukraine fucking heavyweights. This is how much I fucking love heavyweights, right? I didn't even know his name. Klitschko? I think his name is Klitschko, last name. He was determined to win that fight, right? So he fucking got the bishop he can get. He's 6'5 or 6'6, I think. One of those. He's fucking tall. You know, and he won. He won. He became the heavyweight champion of the world. But with that came the depression. As soon as he won that fucking fight, he just fucking was like, I'm done. What else can I fucking do? What else can I achieve? I already got what I wanted. I already got what I fucking was achieving for. So he went to this massive depression for 2 years. He was depressed. He went up to 400 pounds. Drinking every day. Doing coke. And it, all this is not new, and I'm not making shit up. It's already on the books. It's already on record. He went on Joe Rogan Experience, and I'm pretty sure he talked about it in the past. But that's what he said. I'm just quoting what he said. That he did coke. He was sniffing coke. He was fucking drinking too much. He went up to weight to 400 pounds. He was starting to have thoughts of committing suicide. He told a story of when he was driving his fucking Ferrari, of all fucking cars, right, a Ferrari, and then he saw a bridge. He was like, man, I'm just gonna fucking step on it and just go on the bridge and just call it a day. And he said the reason he didn't do it is because of his family. His wife, his kids. He's like, no, I'm not doing this. He went home, and he was just so tired, so fed up. He got on his knees. He prayed, and he begged for help, and for guidance. And then he said, after he did that, he got up and he felt great. He felt like a brick just came off of his fucking chest. And then he went downstairs. He told his wife, I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna, you know, become a champion again. I'm gonna fight again. And she brushed him off like, yeah. You know how fucking females are. And then he was like, okay. And that's all he said. He got back on the fucking horse. He trained. And look at him now. And Joe asked him, like, you know, what helped you? He said, what helped me was to get out of depression is making myself have goals. Like short or long-term goals, but have them. So you can focus on them and not have all this time for you to think and dwell on the past and on past failures and all that shit. So he basically got out of this funkiness just on pure, you know, pure fucking balls. You know, he manned the fuck up. He, you know, no fucking drugs, no fucking therapy, nothing. He's like, okay, I gotta get out of this funk. And, you know, it's interesting that I heard that, and that's how he got out of it. You know, everybody has gone through those fucking, you know, downers in your life. He got out of it by doing that, and I praise him and I applaud him. He won me over as a fan. So I'm interested in a fucking fight. I think the first weekend of December, they're gonna fight. So we'll see. You know, everybody has gone through those fucking downers. Personally, I've gone down on those downers as well. And you know, it's not hard for me to talk about this now because it happened. I'm over it, and I learned from that fucking mistake. From 2011 to 2012, I was going in that path of fucking drinking every day. I was becoming an alcoholic, or I even got to a point where I was called an alcoholic. I was drinking every day. The only days that I did not drink, it was Monday and Tuesday. But come Wednesday, all the way through Sunday, I would drink every day. Not all day, because I had to work. But as soon as I got to work, I got a 12-pack and drink with my fucking friends. Get drunk. Go home, driving drunk. And then I started working in a bar weekends, because I went to school for fucking bartending and all that shit. Yes, that is a true story. There is schools out there for bartending. Because it's not that easy as you think. Fucking drinks are fucking hard to make, especially when they come out with these fucking weird names. There's an actual name called BJ. It's a drink called BJ. Called Blowjob, but they nickname it BJ. Anyways. And so I went to school, I got that fucking shit. I got a job as a bartender. So I was my daytime job was fucking managing a fucking warehouse. So after that, I would go and bartend. Well, I started drinking. I was like, oh man, it's good. Oh man, I can drink for free. Fuck yeah. You know, personal things I was going through, which I'm not going to get into, but that also played an effect. And you know, after work with my friends from the warehouse, I would go buy it. We'll get like a 36. Or a fucking 18 pack, and it was just like three of us. So, Jesus Christ, how much beer can you actually drink and get drunk? And then Thursdays we'll go to Beer and Wings, because it was like happy hour Thursday or some shit. We'll go to Beer and Wings. It's a fucking restaurant called Beer and Wings. We'll go there. This big tall, it's called Tower. It was like a big pitcher. It was pretty cool. Had ice in the middle, like in a tube, so it was nice and cold, and you'll get IPAs. Well, those IPAs will fuck you up. Just drink two of those, and you're done. You're done for the rest of the day. Well, we'll get an IPA, and we'll fucking smash it. And I would drive drunk. And I did that for almost a year. And then come Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I was just drinking at the bar. I would finish a pack. I would finish almost a whole cake of myself. There was times where, there was times when I would drink to a point that I would go take my lunch. I would go to the back of the restaurant and I'll knock out. I would fall asleep. The other bartender would come get me. Hey, man, you okay? Yeah, I'm cool. I was passed out in the back of the restaurant drunk. I was fucked up. I don't know if the people at the bar knew that I was drunk. And this is a country club that I was bartending in. And I won't say the name, but it was PCH. You know, and I would drink every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I would drink every fucking... You know, I would drink every day. I mean, not every day, but every weekend. You know, that It went on from 2011 to 2012. So fast forward to 2012. I think it was somewhere in June. Yeah. I think from May. From May to somewhere in... from May towards the beginning of September. That was the lowest, as low as it can get. You know, the personal journey that I was going through, and I was struggling through that, it kind of blew up through that time. And then it was 4th of July weekend. So it was big parties at this club, right? It went from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So 4 days straight. So 3 days, 2 days I was drinking, which was Thursday and Friday. Saturday, it was a big blowout. Big blowout. It was a huge party. That fireworks. Well, I drank that day. I went in at 11 in the morning. So I drank from 11 in the morning up to 3 in the morning. I drank all day. And I wasn't just drinking beer or nothing like that. I was drinking everything you could possibly think of. I was drinking wine, champagne, vodka, gin, tequila, rum, anything and everything that I could get my hands on. Again, from fucking May to the beginning of September, that was the wake-up call that I needed it. So this fucking event was like, okay, I'm not gonna get anywhere. And this is July. So by August, September, I was winding down already. I knew it's not gonna go anywhere. It's not gonna end well for myself. So back in July, right? July came, and I drank till obviously 3 in the morning. I walked into my fucking truck. I lay down. I knocked out. Woke up at, it was 4:30. And what I should have done is stay there. I should just stay there, go on the back seat and knock out. But I didn't. I drove like that. I drove drunk. I was blacked out. I was fucked up. One of my friends from the bar, her name was Kelly, and I got a part to just thank her because she held me down through that day. She called me. She was like, "What are you doing?" I go, "I'm in the car. I'm about to take off. I just woke up." We were on the phone actually, and I passed out. I passed out for an hour, and she was on the phone on the line, waiting for me to wake up. And I woke up, and she was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah, I just passed out." And I was like, "I know, I could tell. I was talking to you. You were not responding, so I just waited on the line." Oh, I was like, "Oh, cool, thank you. Yeah, I'm cool." And I decided to drive. I was like, "Listen, I'm gonna go home, but can you just stay on the phone with me?" She was like, "Yeah, sure. Just keep me talking. Shit, don't hang up. Just keep me talking." She was like, "Okay." And she would tell me that just stay, don't drive like that. No, I'll be fine. So I drove like that. And, you know, PCH is Pacific Coast Highway, obviously. And I lived in the fucking valley, so I had to drive through the canyons. And there's two ways to do that. If you drive through the canyons, you just go on the fucking freeway, which is a big, you know, turn. I had to go all the way down to the 5, to the 10. And then to the 405, and then to the 101, and the canyon, just go straight to the canyons. You're home. So I was like, fuck, I'm just gonna go to the canyons. So I drove through the canyons in my fucking condition. And that was the stupidest thing ever, man. I would have, you know, God is good in the sense that I did not fucking ran over a fucking... I did not just fucking flew up the hill, you know? So I drove, I got home, and I was so thirsty that I opened up the hose. I opened up the hose of the fucking water, and I drank water out of the hose like a dog. And I remember all this. For some reason, I remember, even though I drink so much, I remember all this. Step by step. I went back, I went to my room, I knocked out. I woke up, as you can imagine how I was. And I was like, okay, this is not good. I called out, like I'm fucked up, I'm still drunk. I called my manager Julio, and I was like, listen man, I can't do this, I'm done. I can't go to work, I'm fucking fried. My truck won't start, I just make a bunch of stories. I can't move, I'm sorry, I can't make it. She was like, oh, just try, I'll try man, but I don't fucking, I'm not gonna give you any promises. She was like, okay, just try, okay. Yeah. He knew damn well I was not gonna go. So I didn't go, I was like, fuck this, I'm not gonna go. So I didn't go. A couple of days passed, and then, and I was sitting down, and I went to a bar, I think, with my friends, and I ordered a beer, and I was just sitting down, and I was like, man, what the fuck am I doing? What is it that I'm doing? What the fuck am I doing drinking like this? What is the purpose of this? What am I going to do, you know, if I kill someone, if I get into a car accident, if I... You know, prior to this, back in 2009, you know, getting real personal, I fucking drove drunk after killing a bottle of fucking Patron, and I got into a car accident. Now, I should have learned back then, right? But I didn't. I was doing this again in 2011, 2012. That's what I'm telling you. This, you know, it's just fucking down as you go to, man, and this is the way you want to deal things. And I was like, man, this is not, you know. So I didn't seek any help. I did not seek professional help or drugs to fucking get me uplifted again. I did it all by myself. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know, but it worked for me. I was like, okay, I can't be doing this. I cannot be doing this. I stopped everything that I was doing. I discommunicated from a lot of people. I fucking got a different phone number. I just wiped clean. I knew the road that I was going through. I knew the road that I was heading into. And I knew that was not the right path. I knew that was not the path that I wanted to go through. I knew while I was drinking. It took that those two incidents that to be, okay, this is not good. You know? And I fucking manned the fuck up. And I was like, okay, I gotta do something about this. And I did. What helped me was stop drinking, obviously. And I just focus on money, focus on working, focus working on my craft, working out. Eventually I found jiu-jitsu. And have a look back ever since. But you know, Fury had this theory, like, yeah, man, you know, short goals and long-term goals are good. You just got to keep doing them. If you finish them, make yourself another short-term goal. It could be anything. It could be, I want to work out today. Okay, make that a goal. You do it. I want to work out 4 times this week. Okay, I want to work out the following week. I want to run 3 times during the week. Okay, just make those goals and make them happen. And you'll feel great. You'll be like, fuck yeah, I did it. I'd make this happen by myself. I had nobody fucking guiding me or telling me what to do. So that's what I did. I stopped and I analyzed what I was doing. I knew that it was not good, and I decided to change. And it helped me. And I think it helped me and it saved me to the point I did not go this, that dark route. But you know, Fury did that and he helped them. And I'm just, you know, other people can have different ways to do it, but you just gotta find a way to do it. And seeking professional help is not bad, but I do believe that you could do that without using any drugs. Mental stuff. Like, okay, I'm gonna work out. I'm gonna go run. I'm gonna go buy get a dog, get a cat. You know, but not use drugs. Because drugs are just gonna numb it. Numb it for the meantime. Just gonna come back. That's what I knew. That's what I find out with fucking alcohol. Because alcohol is a drug. It was numbing. But, you know, as soon as that shit went away, I was like, oh, shit. This is what I was drinking. Man, I want to get, man, I'm craving a beer. I wonder why. So, yeah. Big fan of Fury. Great fucking podcast from Joe Rogan. Hope you guys can fucking go on his YouTube page and look it up. It's very, very interesting the way he talks, the way he shares his story. And I'm a big fucking Tyson Fury fan. I really am. He fucking won me over, man. As a fucking crazy guy, fucking nothing but pure balls and man. The way he handled things and the way he's like, okay, I gotta get this fucking figure. I gotta get this fucking ball rolling good. Especially if you have a family and kids, it's like, dude, you can not live like that. And that's what I think. That's what he realized, and he had to make the change. Yeah. Well, that's it for today, guys. 2 fucking episodes. Hope you guys enjoy it. Leave me any. Look him up on Instagram, media_80_7. You guys can send me a voicemail through the Anchor FM / Established 87 podcast. Show you guys stories, man. Halloween is tomorrow. Fucking great episode that I did earlier today about Halloween, crazy stories. And updates with the fucking with the trade, man. Happy with this trade. I'm happy that this is happening now, and there's future trades coming in. I'm pretty sure. Fury and Wilder happening in the beginning, the first couple weeks of December. UFC 230 coming up this weekend. I'm gonna probably do another episode before the UFC 230 happens, but. Actually, 231, not 230, 231. It's 230. 230. But other than that, man, have a good day, guys. We're out!